Today we're going to start a new series called New Life with Christ, and I'm pretty excited about it. I think sometimes in the Christian life, we can just feel like Christianity is like drudgery. I'm just, you know, like hunker down and suffer, and there is part of the Christian life that can be hard, but there's also a huge aspect of following God, following Jesus, that's very life-giving. And so in this series, we want to look at some of the ways that God gives us life. We want to look at four different areas. We'll look at these a little bit more in depth in a second, but just eternal life and our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and then the new life that we have when we put our faith in Him, or we might call that kingdom living. And so we want to look at those four different areas in the book of Colossians and just see how God talks about what He's done for us. And I hope it'll be really encouraging. It's something we went through as a small group, and as we went through that, it was like, wow, that's really good. There's a lot of cool insights. So I encourage you to, we're not necessarily like covering one chapter each week or something, but I encourage you to just read through the book of Colossians and maybe even look for those different areas of life. There's a little handout, a little worksheet that's on the message page on the website. So if you want to go there, you can click on that link, and that would give you a little guide, I guess, that would help you kind of follow along what we're trying to do in this series. So anyway, in this series, we're looking at four different areas, the four that I just mentioned, and we're going to spend 4 weeks on each one. So this first 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at eternal life. We might take a week or two off, depending on how holidays hit and stuff, and then we're going to look at the next 4 weeks with our relationship with God, and then the next 4 weeks will be our relationship with others, and then eventually our new life in Christ. But there might be some little breaks in there, so that's kind of the big picture idea. And so today we are starting talking about our life in God. One more thing on the series is in each little four-week section that we have, what we want to do is have some kind of practical application that we do as a church to make sure we're not just listening to the Word of God, but we're putting it into practice. And so in each of our four different sections, we'll try to do something that will be like, okay, now let's put this into practice. Let's do this. And hopefully it'll be just faith-stretching and encouraging and maybe a little bit hard, but hopefully not too hard. So we'll try to strike a balance there with all that. So today I want to talk about our eternal life, our new life with Christ, and just how, I guess the one thing I would want you to get here today is that when we become Christians, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's when our eternal life starts. But it's really just a beginning. It's a beginning of a journey that God has for us. And it's super, super, super important. But it's not like all there is. It's all there is in terms of what we have to do to get to heaven, put our faith in Jesus Christ. But it's not all that there is in experiencing all that God has for it. And hopefully as I go, that will make a little bit more sense. But let's pray and we'll jump into it here. God, we just ask that You would teach us here, and that You would speak to each one of us. God, I feel like this is something I've been thinking about for the last year or so. And God, I feel like You've just, I don't know, opened my eyes to some things that I didn't quite understand before. And in some ways, they're super, super simple, super obvious and easy to understand. But in another sense, it's like, oh, it's taken me 55 years to figure this out. And so, and not even that I've got it all figured out yet, but I pray, God, just for each of us, You would help us to grow in our understanding of You and what You've done for us and how we experience life from You. And just even as our name, the Rio, as it talks about how in Ezekiel 47, how Ezekiel has that vision and there's water coming out of the temple and this river grows and expands, and how it's a picture of You and how You're a life giver, and how at the end of the river there's like this trees and fish and just all kinds of life. And it's because that life comes from You. And God, I pray that we would be like that, God, that we would be experiencing life from You, and that through us, You would use us to take Your message to other people and Your ways to other people, and that would bring life wherever we go. God, that our church would be like that, be like a river that's bringing life with wherever our lives touch. And so, God, we pray that You would do that, You'd be at work. And then, God, that really our lives would be a response of worship. God, when we understand the life that we've experienced from you, that then our response would be, wow, I want to offer my life to God. And so we pray that you would use this series and this message here today and just move mightily. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I mentioned those four different areas where we experience life in God. I want to go over those pretty quickly here, but a little more in depth than I did a second ago. So the four places we find life, each of these four has an aspect of receiving and giving. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but we're going to keep talking about it for a while. And so if you think about, like, at Christmas time, maybe you get a gift, and that's pretty cool. It's kind of fills you with joy and kind of life in a sense. And unless you don't like it, in which case it fills you with death. But a lot of gifts that we get are like, woo, I got a gift. You know, it's pretty cool. But also when you give a gift, there's something kind of cool in that as well, right? Like, oh, that was so good. You know, I was able to give somebody this gift and they didn't even know who gave it to them. And I could tell they were so, you know, it's life-giving on both ends. Or you think of like going on a mission trip. You see both sides there, right? You know that the people that you're reaching out to, that they're blessed and it's life-giving to them for you to be there, sharing the message or bringing gifts or whatever you're doing. But you also know when you go and do something like that, it's like, oh man, that was so good for me. It's life-giving to me. And so we see both sides of that. It's a blessing to receive, but also a blessing to give. And so the first area is eternal life. When you put your faith in Jesus and you get eternal life, you cross from death to life. That's pretty life-giving, obviously. And also when we share the message, like the mission trip, that's also a life-giving thing. Our relationship with God, it's very life-giving for us to be loved by God. But it's not just one way, right? It's a two-way relationship. So it's also very life-giving for us to be in relationship with Him and to love Him back. Both things are life-giving for us. Same thing in our relationship with other people. It's very life-giving to receive other people's love, to be loved, to be in a family that loves you, to be in a church that loves you, to have a friend who loves you. Just anytime we can get love, that's just so life-giving. But also to be able to be a lover, to love other people, that's also very life-giving. And then the fourth one's a new way of life, or living in the kingdom. I like different things about those two ways of wording it. New way of life for living in the kingdom. So we get life by following Jesus' new way of life for us. But we also find life when we help others discover God's life-giving way. So it doesn't just stop at eternal life, but we continue to grow and experience life as we follow God in His way. So these four areas are something that I guess they're helpful to me. And Deb and I have talked about them, and they're not necessarily like, oh, in the Bible, there are four ways of getting life, and only these four ways, and there's two parts of each. You know, it's not like that. This is just kind of a chart that helps us get handles on it and think about it a little bit. We could break it up differently. We could say there's two, you know, there's you get eternal life, and then you have your life in the kingdom, or your new life. You could just have those two things, and the other things could fall in under that. You could go with the middle two. And say, well, it's all about loving God and loving others. And that would be a decent breakdown. When I think about it, in my mind, that whole living in the kingdom part is like huge. So maybe you could have the first three and you could take number four and break it into, you know, so it's not like there's only these four, but this is just a helpful way of thinking about it. I hope it will be helpful to you guys as well. So again, this morning, we're going to be focusing on that first one, on how we get life from God, eternal life, in kind of the gospel. So let's jump into that. So getting eternal life is a huge part of the life that God offers. Getting eternal life is a huge part of the life that God offers. If we were talking about receiving life from God, to me that's a pretty obvious starting point. In Colossians 1:13 says, He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. It seems like it's talking there about our eternal life. When a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for them, and He talks about how He purchased our freedom from sin, from our own sins, and He forgave us. And he took us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. I mean, there's this huge thing that's going on that's very life-giving to us. I want to look at some other verses. We're not just going to focus on Colossians today. Today's a little bit more of an overview message, I guess. And these are all real basic verses that probably most of you have seen. John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, talking about something that happened in the Old Testament times, so the Son of Man's Jesus. So Jesus must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. So there we have kind of the very beginning of eternal life is when we believe in Jesus Christ. And that's when we cross from death to life. That's when you know it's like, woohoo, I'm going to heaven. You know, that's a big deal. Like the video we watched earlier, that's when you know, whose side am I on? I'm on Jesus' side because I've put my faith in him. It goes on and says, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So you see it again. Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And there we see that we get eternal life for free. That's amazing. For free. You get the gift of eternal life. It's not something you work for. It's not like something, oh, I need to start doing this and then God will let me into heaven. Or I need to stop doing this and then God will let me into heaven. It's neither one of those. It's a gift that he offers us that we receive by believing in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. 1 John 5:11. It says, this is the testimony. Imagine that in court. You know, this is the testimony. This is the thing right here. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his son. The one who has the son has eternal life. The one who does not have the son of God does not have this eternal life. And so it's all about Jesus and what he's done for us, putting our faith in him. And so that's so important. You know, the life that we get from eternal life is amazing, and it's exciting, it's worth praising God for, it's really cool, but there's more. Eternal life is a beginning. Eternal life is a beginning. Let's look at some verses out of Colossians here. It says, the same good news is the word gospel, right? This is the gospel message, the same gospel message, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere, changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Okay, so here we see this message of God, gospel message, is going out and it's having an impact. It's bearing fruit. And I think about zucchinis for some reason. I don't know if that was a Colorado thing too. I used to live in Colorado, but growing up, I think in Iowa, it was a really big deal. Like somebody would plant zucchinis, and I know they're a vegetable, but at least I think they are. I could be wrong. They always trick you on stuff like that, right? So anyway, you plant, I'm going to plant 4 zucchini plants. And then you end up with like a billion zucchinis, right? And then people are like bringing them to church. Oh, anybody want a box of zucchinis? And like, I have a billion of my own, you know? And you get this picture a little bit like this gospel seed that was planted, like, and took off. And so it says, the good news, the gospel that came to you is going all over the world. So it's spreading among people. So what's the fruit bearing there? Well, it's that other people are receiving this message and believing in Jesus. Kind of like number one, but kind of that other side, sharing eternal life with other people on our little chart. But then it says, it's bearing fruit everywhere, changing lives. It's bearing fruit. It's changing people's lives. Whoa, that's so cool. Verse 10, Colossians 1:10 says, the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Again, it makes me think about kingdom living. About living the new life. Your lives are producing good fruit in you and in other people. All the while, you'll grow Again, this idea of growing and spreading. You'll grow as you learn to know God better and better, which I think is kind of interesting. Knowing God better and better reminds me a little bit of dating. You get to know somebody better and better, and as you get to know them, you fall deeper and deeper in love. And so, that, of course, that makes me think of our relationship with God, number two on our little chart there. So let your roots grow down into Him. Again, number two on our chart. Let your lives be built on Him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And so we see our faith growing. And so it's not this stop point. It's like, okay, you heard the gospel, and good, you're going to heaven, and it's okay, that's cool. It's like, no, you heard the gospel, and you believed in it, and then zucchinis everywhere. Should be what's happening. Colossians 2:19. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. This in combination, there's a similar verse in Ephesians 4, gives me the picture of the church, of our lives together, growing together, supporting one another, helping each other. And that makes me think of number three on the little chart, right? That it's this relationship with others. I get life as other people love me, and I also get life as I love them. And then they get life as I love them. And it's all just this thing all working together. This beautiful gives us life. We're experiencing life in God. Started with eternal life, but then it continues to grow like a zucchini plant. Eternal life is far more than the afterlife. Eternal life is far more than the afterlife. And this is basically the same as the last point, but I kind of felt like I should have 3 points, so I reworded it and stuck it on there again. But before we jump into this, let me read that little paragraph that's on your sheet, poorly written. English teachers would choke on this. But hopefully it captures the heart here. All of the life we find in God starts with the gospel. The gospel is not just the get-out-of-jail-free card or the ticket to eternal life. Rather, it's a beginning point. A new connection with God, a seed that grows, bearing fruit and growing our faith, our love for others, our deeds, and our knowledge of God, even spreading and growing throughout the world. The church family also grows together, building one another in love. The gospel is absolutely not an ending point. It's a beginning point. It's a beginning point. Okay, so it's far more than the afterlife. And just think about, I think what we think is eternal life is this thing that happens when I die and then I go to heaven. But when you put your faith in Jesus, you get eternal life. That eternal life starts now. Okay? It's not something that starts when you die. It's not like, oh, I didn't have life. Now I have eternal life, but I have another 20 years or whatever before I die, and then life really starts. It's like, no, this eternal life gets now. It lasts forever, but it's something that we get now. It's something that starts now. It's not this starting point. It's way, way more than that. Even if you think of in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And then what happens with this new creation? Oh, and then the new creation just kind of sits around and waits until it dies. Really? You know, we're not in some kind of lame duck Christianity or something. Jesus talked about how to be saved. We have to be born again. And it's the idea that, okay, I'm born again. I'm a baby now. And you just stay a baby. No, the idea is you grow and you change. Things are happening in you and then eventually through you. And so it's way more than just the starting point. So some of the different areas that I was thinking about, one is just the area of hope. When you think about hope that we have in Christ, we have a hope of an eternity with God, right? We have a hope of going to heaven, basically. And that's great, and that's real. But it's not our only hope. I have hope in eternal life, but I also have a hope of internal life. I have a hope that God's changing me. He's going to change me. I'm not going to be stuck in this spot forever. I have a hope of external life. I have a hope of God using me to have an impact, to love other people, to make a difference in the world. I have a hope that God has a goal and a mission for my life, that I've been created in Him to do good works, which He's prepared in advance for me to do. I have a hope that things are going to continue and grow and get better and be awesome. The heart of God. I think when we understand that eternal life is more than just the sinner's prayer, we understand the heart of God better. I want to use an example here, and I'm not thinking of anyone currently attending our church when I say this. Okay, so if you feel like I'm picking on you or something, I don't even know anyone in this spot. There probably is somebody, but just know I don't know it. It's your secret, okay? Okay, so sometimes people may ask the question, do I have to get baptized? Do I have to get baptized? Okay, so in this whole journey of understanding life and new life in the kingdom and things in these four different areas, I think I've come to the realization that I've put too much emphasis on just getting saved, just becoming a Christian, and not enough emphasis on what happens after that and discipleship and growth. And so, you know, there's stuff that in my head, yeah, I kind of know these things are important, but the emphasis was a little bit wonky. And when I hear someone ask a question like that, I think they're a little wonky too. Like, they have that same wrestle. They're just thinking wrong. So when they say, do I have to get baptized? What I think they're saying is, do I have to get baptized to go to heaven? Well, no, you don't. In my understanding of the word, people have different thoughts on it. But is that the right question? Well, it is if all that matters is eternal life. And then, sure, that's an important question, I guess. But what if we lived our life just kind of like, what does God want me to do? What is God calling me into? What path does He have for me? What journey is He inviting me down? Well, then I'd be like, well, yeah, of course. Because if we know that that's something He's called us into, something that He wants us to do. And that's just one example. We could come up with a million different examples. Does God want me to stop this particular sin? Does God want me to break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend? Does God want me to stop cussing? Does God want me to quit robbing banks? You know, I mean, we could come up with all kinds of things. Some that would be like, oh, okay, that's obvious. And some would be like, I don't like it when you talk about that, you know? And that's the journey of the Christian life, right? He's calling us down a road, and some stuff He's going to want us to do that we're not doing and that we don't want to do. And some stuff He's going to ask us to stop that we're doing that we don't want to stop. But He's calling us on this journey, and it's like a wedding, you know, or an engagement. It's like, come with me. Come marry me. I don't know what that's going to entail. So trust me, it's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be hard at times, but it's going to be good. And so I think when we understand kind of this bigger picture, it's not just about eternal life. He's calling us down this journey of following Him. He's calling us into relationship with Him. Then that gives us a picture of the heart of God. It's not just, do I have to do this thing to get to heaven? But it's like, well, what's the heart of God? What's He want me to do? And then walk into that. Transformation, so important. I met a guy, Dove and I were at a conference the last few days, and Todd Watkins drove us to the airport yesterday, and a friend of his name was Pete or Pedro, and got to hear a little bit of Pete's story. And Pete had, hope it's okay that I tell this to the whole internet, Pete had some problems in his life, and he was spending like $200 a day on drugs and alcohol, and you know, he was just in a dark, dark, dark spot. And he found Jesus and put his faith in Jesus, and he's changing and growing, and he's kind of leading a little church out of his home. And it's amazing. And right at the end of our meeting, he shared something with me. I'm sure I'll use it as sermon illustration at some point, but he shared something with me about legalism that was like, just kind of one of those, like, whoa, I've never thought of that. That was so good. You know, and so you could see the Spirit of God working in him. And so anyway, the hope is not just that you enter into eternal life, but the hope is that you enter into eternal life and that you continue to grow and change and transform. And I've been talking to a friend of mine who, because of his choices, because of sin that he got involved in, he atom bombed his life. And so much so that I really want to say literally, even though I know you can't literally atom bomb your life, but I mean, pretty much literally, he just, oh man, the devastation of sin. And it's so hard. The good thing is, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe he's crossed from death to life. And that's really cool. But when you look at just the struggles that he's had and the struggles he'll still have to learn to overcome, I assume at some point the temptations that he had in the past will be a temptation again, and he'll have to work through it. And so you can see in his life, it's like, well, it's not just, okay, you prayed the sinner's prayer, and now, okay, we're good. All right, what else should we talk about? You know, he just started a journey, right? A journey of transformation. I know another guy kind of some similar sins going on in his life, and he's just on the verge of atom bombing his life. But he's been following Jesus for 15 years. And I look at that, it's like, that's so sad. You know, I think there's a transformation that God wanted to take place in his life that is not probably as far along as it should be. And it's just wreaking havoc on his life. And so when we look at that, we're like, okay, yeah, it shouldn't have just been the sinner's prayer and then, okay, that's it. It should be that he prayed to receive Christ and he entered into a relationship. And it's a transforming relationship. And so I think it's just really important for us to have that clear in our heads that it's not just this point of time when you put your faith in Jesus. I think it's a bit of an expanded view of the good news. Here's what I believe. The gospel is believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Period. That's it. That's completely it. Don't add anything to that. And we can find 30 verses or so that are just, you know, they just say just that, you know, just really clearly. And there are a few other verses that are maybe a little bit harder to understand that we have to kind of think, how do we figure this all out? But I think when we look at Scripture, it seems pretty clear. It's just your belief in Jesus Christ. That's what gets you to heaven. That's great. That's good. The gospel means the good news. The good news. When I think about the good news, I think of maybe a little bit of a bigger picture than that. Because that's not all the good news, right? The good news is that you're going to heaven, but the good news is that this other stuff keeps happening, right? That you're transforming, that you're changing, that you're growing, that God uses you, that it's spreading in the world, that there's zucchinis everywhere. You know, that's part of the good news. So in a sense, I know we could say, well, in a sense, then it's part of the gospel. But I want to make it really clear. I don't believe that's part of what it takes for a person to become a follower of Jesus or enter into a relationship with Jesus. But it is a fuller understanding of, like, we're not just offering people a ticket to heaven. We're offering people a life-changing journey that affects everything. Everything. And then the last one here is just a goal to pursue. Goal to pursue. So think about an NFL football player, and he's on a team, like every team, they want to win the Super Bowl. That's their goal. So imagine you're on this team, and you all work really hard for it, and then you win the Super Bowl. And then there's a bit of a, now what? Okay, well then let's do back-to-back, or let's win 5 Super Bowls, or whatever. Let's be a dynasty. But at some point, you kind of grow out of it, right? You're too old, and then you retire, and then, well, now what? Now what's your goal? Now what do you live for? And I think when we have the wrong picture of eternal life, what happens is we hit that Super Bowl really early on, right? Woo, I'm going to heaven. Put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. But it's like, no, no, no. It's that's not the goal. The goal is to grow and change, be in this relationship, to follow him, to whatever that looks like, to experience life from him, and to respond to him in love and worship. You know, that's the goal. And it starts when you put your faith in him. It's the beginning of a journey, but then it continues on. And Kathleen was looking for this verse the other day and found it and passed it on to me. I'm like, oh, that's just what I want to say, except it's not in Colossians, but still a pretty good verse. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear friends, I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race. And I just, that one little phrase in there really caught me, that Christ Jesus saved me, all that he saved me for and wants me to be. All that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And so it's not just this idea of, well, it's not like God's like, well, all I want you to do is get into heaven. All I want you to do is pray this little prayer. All I want you to do is put your faith in Jesus and we're good. I have dreams for you. I have hopes. I have transformation for you. I have things I want to do in you, things I want to do through you, things I want to do in the world. And join me on this journey. Join me on this journey. And I think that's the call that God has for us. So when I think about eternal life, for sure, by default, I kind of go to, oh, that's when you put your faith in Jesus. That's when you pray this prayer. But I just want to encourage us in continuing to process that and think about that, that what God's called us into is way more than that. It's way more than that and way better than that. And to really understand the life that we've been given, I think we need to understand that it's more than the gospel message, even though the gospel message is a beautiful part and a significant part, a wonderful, amazing part of what he's done for us. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time here. We thank you for what you have done for us. And God, I thank you that you've been just growing us in our understanding of that. And God, I pray that we would be people who really understand what you've done for us, understand your love for us, and that because of that, we would respond to you. We would respond to you in love and in worship. But God, for us to respond to you, we've got to get that. We've got to have some picture of what you've done. So I pray that you continue teaching us, clarifying that in our minds. I pray you would help us through this series to continue to grow in a fuller understanding of you. I pray in our own devotional times, just that we'd get a little bit of time to work through Colossians and to think about what you've done and to think about how we're getting life from you. And God, that would breathe some fresh air into our faith, into our life. We get a renewing of the Spirit in our lives. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.